Two movies into our one movie leaves as we watched
two movies called Raw. One, an Eddie Murphy special. The other one, a French movie about cannibalism.
All on today's episode of
There Can Only Be One.
Did I do it? Did I do it right? I bet it only sounded like one voice. I bet it only sounded like one of us was doing it.
Perfectly in sync.
Yeah. Because me and Robert finish each other's. Me and Robert finish each other's sanscripts.
Welcome to the There Could Be Only One podcast, where we watch two movies with the same title. Determine if one of them needs to change the title or both need to change it, and we're going to be there to help them out. My name is Robert Rao, and joining me today are...
Herman Omega Brown Davis.
And...
David Vetrano.
Oh, yes, the other person that was playing my station, my legion, the voices echo throughout the ages, you know, that's what we heard right there.
If I had a Jiminy Cricket, it would be Robert Rao, so I know the feeling.
Why, hi there, David. What's going on?
I don't know. I got a tough decision to make. I found this wallet. Should I return to the owner or should I watch a movie?
Well, I seem to have a Netflix subscription and plenty of films that just got added.
Okay, watching a movie. Thanks, Robert Rao.
New season of Orange is the New Black just started this week.
It's not a movie. Shut up.
But binging it makes you feel like you accomplished something. It's like a marathon. For your mind.
Now you feel like you're a pusher. Just a little heroin goes the wrong way.
Well, that's essentially what Netflix does. So, yeah, I think I've done my duty, and then I fade away because I've accomplished everything I needed to on Earth.
Yay. Oh, boy.
Oh, is that what's happening? Yeah. There are, like, millions of Sam Becketts in heaven right now because he's accomplished it. And then like, another Sam, like, they split. Like, it's like the prestige.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of Sam Becketts and drowned in tubes.
Mitosis.
Oh, God. If he jumped into, like, Hugh Jackman right when he's about to turn into two people and then it splits it off.
Oh, boy. You're quantum binging.
Did you ever feel like in the prestige? I understand why they did it this way, but did you ever feel like he only had to do it once? And not kill the other guy, and now you have two of him?
Yes,
why did he need to have to kill the other person every time when it could just be two people living now?
I think it was a constant fear of what he had done. Like, the first one died. Like, I think, like, the first one
no,
died.
No, he killed them.
Oh, that's right.
He killed them with his bare hands.
Yeah, he had to kill them because they both thought, well, somebody's got to die because they need to take the acclaim. That was the idea. It's like... Well, if there's two of you and you look alike, now you can solve that. That was, I guess, the proven point. Like, he couldn't figure out that Christian Bale was two different people.
Well, that's the thing. I think it was the constant, like, you know your own brain versus, like, what was that Rick and Morty where there's all the parallel Ricks? And then he gets paranoid because he knows him as himself, he'd try to kill the other Rick.
That's true. Yeah.
So it was like, if I'm thinking about killing the other me right now, he must be thinking about it too since we're the same person.
Right, paranoid
just, like, eats away at you.
Oh, okay. Solved and solved.
Next one, please.
Will do.
I was going to go say that.
Rosebud was the name of his sled. Next one.
I was going to say back then maybe it was just the thought of the abomination of, you know, hey, this is not, I'm playing God. Let me kill them. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing, but the
I might find myself attracted to me, so he has to die.
Well, he knew all
because he might have sex with me, and we can't have that.
It'd just be masturbation, though.
But masturbation is wrong because it's the 19th century. Right?
So you make a clone yourself, and you jerk your clone off, and the clone jerking you off. Is that playing with yourself?
That's the yin yang symbol. You didn't see that, like, if you
yin yang twins.
Yeah, it's
yin-yang
twins. It's called the yank yang twins, I believe is what it's called. All right, so we didn't watch any of that. We watched.
By the way, yank yang twins on Netflix.
We're watching two Raw films. One, the Eddie Murphy special from 1987. The other one premiered at Fantastic Fest last year. and I think it just popped up on Netflix. So so we've already watched the Eddie Murphy one. There might be a preview. There's probably like an ad for it because there must have been a trailer for this. They had to advertise this at some point, so we're gonna put it in right now.
I love him.
He's funny.
Sexy.
He's raw.
To a white disco recently, and white people can't dance. Do y'all listen to the words or the beat?
And now we're back.
And we're back, everybody.
We're gonna play that trailer right now.
Yes. This was.
I think Herman just snorted the fly that's been flying around the room.
Oh, okay. Herman solved our fly problem. Good job.
And it went up in my head.
Oh. This is the second time we've featured an Eddie Murphy stand-up special. The first one was Delirious, and this is the actual second one in his run. He did the first concert movie back in like 83. Take that away. Throw it away.
Okay.
Throw it somewhere.
All right.
But what else am I supposed to do with my ferrets?
The second one,
Robert. No, seriously, my ferrets. What am I supposed?
Well, you know what you should do with your ferrets.
What's that?
You should watch a Netflix movie. Netflix, the only avenue for you to forget all your problems.
I guess we finally got our first advertiser on this show. Yeah.
Oh, that sweet Netflix money.
Yeah, exactly.
Just giving it away.
Yeah, you know how everybody's getting a buck more a month? Not this guy, because all I have to do is pimp out Netflix. I stay the same rate all the way through.
So. $2 more.
Nope. I get your dollar.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
I eat your dollar. it's a terrible business.
That's what happened there will be blood. He's like eating money at the end, and that would have... It's like, I love money. Yum, yum, yum.
I'm done now.
Mr. Lewis, why you look so sick? I've been eating money, Daniel. I've been shitting paper.
Do you think you go about Lewis or you got to call him Mr. Day Lewis?
Mr. Day Lewis. Ah! Fighter of the night, Lewis.
Yeah, other than his brother, M. Knight Lewis, that we don't have to do that with. Yeah. You can leave him alone. You can just call
damn,
him.
Damn, Daniel Day-Lewis with the shoes on.
Damn straight. He's like, shit, yeah, I'm the best. My name's Dan. This is my actual talking voice. No one knows what I actually sound like. Because I just go around making all these other voices. This is actually how Lincoln sounded like, but nobody tasted it. Didn't test well.
So. This is what I sound like now because I did that one movie, that one documentary about helium. So I spent a whole month inhaling it. They get ready for the part.
You know, we might be doing more voices because of the movie we just watched. Eddie Murphy, this is one of those things that you forget about him, even though not really because he does tons of other characters in his own films. I would say
one character Eddie Murphy's ever played.
He has played Winston Churchill in the movie Mr. Church. Gotcha. They put Hill in the parentheses, and you didn't know what that was about. No one knows what it's about because no one saw it, so I can just make shit up.
True, eh? True.
Because it grossed how much?
$600,000. All of it from his entourage. Oof. who made them watch it with him on his opening day.
Oof.
So about 20, 30 minutes at the beginning was him doing impressions of people and how they felt about his first special.
Yeah.
So it just went down the line, and during the set, it even went like to his family. We don't know how his family actually sounds, but he definitely
there was a voice.
Charlie Murphy sound
each
right,
bit.
But he
sounds like this.
You don't make a sound.
All right.
You don't make a sound.
Why is that?
Because the tree fall down the.
Eddie Murphy part ant.
Yes. But yeah, we ended up, there was like a, this is the one that actually had like a sketch at the beginning of the movie. There was a,
Little Chris. I mean, yeah. Little Chris. Little Eddie.
Everybody
hates Eddie in this one. You basically get to see how he gets started. Now, just like, Dave Chappelle, he started going to comedy clubs when he was like 15, 16, which is something that never even, like, what? Now, you actually started pretty young whenever you did Family Dinner stuff, right, David? Like, how old were you when you started doing improv?
Shit, how old is a sophomore in high school?
15.
16?
16, I guess.
Damn,
16, 17?
Freshman and sophomore in high school. Yeah, it's either 15 or 16, depending on, like, when you start. But, yeah.
It was about sophomore year.
Yeah.
That's when I started, like, practicing. I don't know. Maybe I was 17 when I did, like, Family Dinner. But
you did it for high school. Like, you did the high school level.
Yeah. I did, ladies, take a man, I started the improv club.
Ooh,
at Catholic High. And so they had the drama department. So I ran for 2 years. I was the head of the improv show that they had. And so I oversaw, as there was two different coaches, and I kind of helped both groups. And there was Squad A and Squad 1.
What year you went to Catholic High?
I graduated in 2005.
So when Travis Minor was there, you was like, you know, yeah, he's Mr. Big Man on the football field, but I'm Big Man in the improv.
Man, me and Travis, because I would watch those football games. I sat there and I was like, yeah, Bears. And nothing like Travis to remind me that he was a player on that team.
You don't know who I'm talking about.
Nope. No.
Herman's not familiar with the sports corner that with Dave Petrano, where we make him try to come up with stuff because he knows nothing about sports, but it's so
really?
Funny.
I'm very bad at sports.
Ooh. Yeah, even though that's
why like, Hatfield always pisses me off in trivia. I'm just like, all right, Civil War, pop culture, let's do it. In this Super Bowl, what ball do they throw? And I'm like, it's either a soccer ball or a football. I don't know.
No, you're wrong.
I'm very bad at sports.
Yeah, basketball.
Basketball. Yeah, so they trick you.
That's Quidditch. Yeah, they have the snitch they throw around.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
For telling everybody secrets.
Yes, of course. Stop telling our secrets,
so snitch. That's why the improv group was at the laser tag for so long, because you couldn't really do it at a club. You had to go to someplace that was kid-friendly.
No.
No.
We just, that was the only location that could do it.
We got ousted from Perks and or Garden District Coffee because the guy that came in.
You were in your 20s. You were old enough to, like, by the time we were at Laser Tag, right? Like,
it was when I first joined the group, I couldn't go to Boudreaux and Thibodeau's.
Okay.
So I was probably 17 then. 17, 18. That's whenever J-Bob, Adam Wilson, and them would do shows downtown at Boudreaux. Not at Boudreaux and Thibodeau's. Well, no.
Brew House was it?
There was a Boudreaux and Thibodeau show, but then it was the casino.
Not Le Bourge, but what was it called? Argosy?
I think where they had stand up for a long time.
Okay.
Jeremy White ran it back then. But
History.
Ancient
history.
But they used to do a show down there for a little bit on the side from Perks. And then, but I bet Adam will probably text me later. He's like, you dumbass. This is like, he's so good with numbers and years.
Oh, yeah, he's going to text you.
He's going to be like, you were this old and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah, this is this show.
We're doing all the bugs around here. Like, it's feeds indirectly to all previous Family Dinner members, and they're going to jump through the door.
But no, I have a horrible self timeline. You like, Lisa is very good about that, other people around me, but all I know is I graduated in 2005 from Catholic High. Before and after that, you're like, how old or what year was this happened in your life?
I did not realize I was that much older than your ass. Damn.
Yeah, the beard.
Damn.
But, like, if you ask me, like, what age were you or what year did this happen, I will work around 2005 as my post-life in life, and I'm very bad about giving numbers and ages.
Did you see recently that Frankie Muniz came out saying he does not remember actually recording any of the Malcolm in the Middle episodes because he had 9 concussions?
No.
Yes.
He got CTE.
And mini strokes. Like, he's had a series of mini strokes after that, too. And this wasn't on any of these podcasts, so this is only me recalling this. You mentioning that you've had a couple of concussions might actually put all this together.
Maybe.
Whoa. You don't play sports and you had concussions?
He's played sports.
I played soccer. Yeah. I played the shit out of soccer. I traveled the state playing soccer.
Isn't that interesting? Because not all the soccer moms are saying that they want their kids to play soccer because they say football is too dangerous. But you done had okay.
But look at David. We're gonna dissect his brain and show everybody it's the same disease. It's It's called stupid disease. He's showing off some bubble blowing right now for all of the audience at home.
Yes. Y'all can watch us on YouTube.
Sorry. I just had a post-concussion moment.
Yeah. Now, his was racing. Like, he's a big, like, Formula One driver. Or it might be NASCAR.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. I think I remember that now you bring it up.
And to be fair, there would be specials of Frankie Muniz around the time Malcolm Middle came up. And it didn't look like he had, like, the best diet for, like, later in life. Like, just consuming chicken McNuggets or whatever at a Clippers game. This is he was destined to have some medical problem.
Oh, he was living it up when Malcolm Middle was out. I mean, he was enjoying life.
Yeah, he still is. Like, he didn't, like, blow it all on, like, stupid things. Yeah. And they even mentioned, like, his brother on the show, Reese. They had the one that wasn't, you know, like, the older one, but not the older one.
Yeah,
not
the one who was in the middle.
Right. He ended up, like, buying a lot of property. Like, with all the money. Like, they were actually pretty savvy with what they did. So it wasn't like they blew any of their money.
Well, they had some good people around them, you know?
Yeah. It helps. But they mentioned, I think he's on Dancing with the Stars. He's on one of those reality shows right now.
Was he good at dancing?
He doesn't remember.
Oh. So he didn't have any raw talent?
Oh, hey, raw! Life is unfair. Yeah,
you're not the boss. It's tough.
It's tough to actually talk about this other than the fact that it was an Eddie Murphy special.
Stand-up.
Yeah, it was stand up. Maybe marveling at there was a lot of moments where we went, this probably couldn't fly today. Like a lot of that sort of thing.
Yeah,
you probably couldn't say that. You probably couldn't use that as a topic.
And also mesmerized by his outfit.
Yes,
if you rewatch this, of course, we remember the red suit versus the purple suit. Thank you, Robert. We called it blue. We were wrong, Your Honor. We were wrong. It's a purple.
I didn't have to bring it up.
But there's a scarf attachment.
Yes.
That, like, disappears in the second half, probably from different recordings.
I think it's a scarf by itself. It's just a jacket, and the way it was just coming off. You know, while he was performing,
It's like when you have
maybe it's like absorbent, it wasn't like sweat on leather.
To make everyone else visualize it, it's almost like if you tuck in your shirt and your zipper's open, and your shirt's going through your fly. That's basically what this scarf was doing on the side of
his shirt.
Maybe that
was just his
dick. No, it was just on the side.
I've heard
of his
shirt. Eddie Murphy has a wispy dick.
Yes, he does. And it blows in the wind when he knows a storm's coming.
They ever tell you about old Wispy Dick?
You ever watch the Weather Channel? Eddie Murphy's dick.
I always heard Eddie Murphy's dick was a child that got pneumonia from sledding outside, and now he's a friendly ghost.
Oh, God, is that what happened with Casper?
Apparently, that was the origin story. He was a child that liked sledding so much, he died and got pneumonia.
What?
Yeah, he died. Apparently, the origin story is of Casper, the friendly ghost, is he died from pneumonia because he enjoyed
sledding.
Couldn't
he just have a dad that killed him? Why do they have to give him some sad child disease?
They went with a whole, he didn't sell enough matchsticks, so his father killed him.
Oh, okay.
I really don't know if you're being serious or sarcastic
now. You never heard the little matchstick girl?
No.
Oh.
Really?
No.
Anyway,
I got a story to tell for you.
Okay.
So I would say about half of his special is talking about his previous special, and the other half is talking about something or a lot of different things that the audience was sort of on board with or not really on board with.
Relationships.
Right. It was a bunch of stuff that flies because he is as big of a star as he is. Now, I don't know if you guys had to deal with this as much as I did, but
being a big star,
yes of course, yes. Being a huge star.
I mean,
2003 to 2007 was Herman's years. Yeah. Those were, I mean, man, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing Herman.
My Eddie Murphy when I was growing up was Adam Sandler. Like, there was like that guy who transcended comedy for you, like the guy that started everything, but had two different sides of his comedy in the same way Eddie Murphy did. Now, I'm not saying he was the guy that I idolized. But he was the guy that was on SNL that was the star of SNL when he was on there. And he had a separate breakout career happening at the same time. Did you guys ever get the album They're All Gonna Laugh at You? Which is a series of songs and sketches that he did.
No,
I'm right there with Robert. I'm just nodding along because it was almost like, because I'm younger than you, so it was almost that thing where we got the parent advisory CD before we technically really could get it. We'd listen to it and be like, oh, man.
See, my guy, the equivalent to Adam Sandler would have been Martin Lawrence because of Def Comedy Jam and also because of the Martin Show, which, I mean, is still must-see TV.
All right, fine. I'll watch it. Is it on Netflix? Because I won't watch it any other
way. I don't
way.
Think it's on Netflix. But, it's on TV One.
But I actually had to tell my dad that the album was okay and he wouldn't like it because he was actually somewhat interested in listening to the album and I had already heard it. And I was like, oh, shit, he can't hear any of this or he'll throw it away. Like, there's no way that this is going to fly. There's a character he created on that album called the Buffoon who does nothing but talking about fucking things.
Yeah.
And just saying fucking shit. That is his catchphrase. And there's no way this is gonna.
Dates and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though I am older, that shit ain't gonna fly. So I had to go to like my dad was like, so how was the album? I was like, this is okay. You won't like it. That's about how I had to go around him on this to say like, because there was two sides to him. You had the guy that was on SNL that was kind of like the shy, cuddly version of the version that he became. On these albums where he just went nuts.
He was a Cosby kid.
Yes, he was. He was like one of Theo's friends or whatever. Yeah. Yes. Which has nothing to do with what we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Just because it was a sketch in Eddie Murphy's thing has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But anyway, I feel the same way happens with Eddie Murphy. Like, I bet people, like when Bill Cosby talked about his son going to go see him, all you knew Eddie Murphy was from the movies, and you're like, oh, well, this guy's going to be... And then all of a sudden, he's like, fuck, shit, cunt, and all that, whatever, so...
Quick sidebar.
Sure.
Have you ever had, like, your parent throw away something of yours because they deemed it too explicit or something like that?
Not throw it away. It was just deemed I couldn't do anything. There wasn't a ton of whatever I bought that they got a hold of. It just eventually... They were the ones that approved or disapproved something ahead of time.
Well, yeah, I had a Punisher versus Wolverine comic that my mom deemed too bloody, and like she threw it away in front of me. So I knew exactly the garbage can that she threw it away in. But she like
got it.
No, like she was watching like to see if I would go get back, and I was just like,
oh
wow, really? I can't read this. It's just a comic book. What's the worst that's gonna? But I just couldn't. I couldn't have it in the house, so it got thrown away.
So when he became 18, he got like a specially made birthday.
Oh, you haven't seen my dick dick tattoo?
Your dick penis?
My dick penis. I have Wolverine and Punisher fighting over my dick, and I'm just compelled to do it because mommy said I couldn't.
No, like a punching bag?
Yeah,
like
I just beat myself like Ben Affleck in The Accountant. Just, all that repressed.
I only threw away, like, Playboys.
Okay.
And Penthouse and
Hustlers. Yeah, but I just distinctly, like, whenever you mentioned your dad potentially throwing away this, I was like, oh man, that brings back a memory.
Yeah, there was absolutely no threat of by that age because I bought it with my money. This wasn't like something that I got as a gift, but there was plenty of stuff that they just refused to buy. It got to a point where it was like, it's your money, you can buy it, but I'm not going to buy this for you.
Yeah.
And it feel the same way about like kids in general. That should be like, I'm going to get them things that they might want, but if they really want something, like if they want some stupid cards or whatever, they buy it on their own money.
I will say, during the special, he did mention how when Bill Cosby was talking to him and telling him, you did this, the kind of thing, and then he called Richard Pryor, he said, like, oh, yeah, he's really raw with you. Like, so, I mean, that's the only basis thus far, that was maybe a term that you don't hear nowadays, but maybe used back then as straight truth, like, telling you how it is. So
he actually called Richard Pryor's comedy raw compared to his comedy. Like, he is the rawest of them.
He said Richard Pryor was the rawest, but... that's, I guess, what he was shooting for with this, basically, to give power to the title, which is why we're here today. Mm-hmm. That was in reference.
Well, I guess also, wasn't like he's the first comedy concert movie that actually had a lot of cursing? Because this actually...
Richard Pryor's did.
No, but actually this, since it was technically a movie, before Goodfellas came out, this was the most movie used the word fuck in it. Yeah.
No way.
Okay.
No way.
Okay, what?
No
what,
way.
Okay. Call me
absolutely not.
So are you saying
Citizen
it's more...
Citizen Kane, when he was looking around for his... looking around for his... Fuck it, where's my fucking sled?
Fucking newspaper.
he did curse a lot. And, like, I remember specifically this movie...
'87. There's no way this was the first movie that had like a lot of curse. '87.
Up until Goodfellas.
When did South Park where they said shit a bunch come out? Was that even close? Are you saying Raw is referring more to the uncensored nature of it as opposed to just the him like breaking down like truth?
No, the most uncensored. Like,
okay,
I remember when
interesting.
I remember my parents rented this from Blockbuster.
Yeah,
look that up, kids. They brought it home and they popped it in. I was like, "Oh, I want to watch that." So they sat there and let me watch like the first
Scarface?
The first minute of it.
Sure, Scarface, he says it a lot.
In the first minute of it, I excused myself from watching it. I was
Dad, I've been your dealer for tonight.
Y'all have fun.
Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, I'm gone. I know I can't watch this.
I have stumbled into a universe that is beyond me. Yes. I'm going to go color.
But I mean, he cursed a lot, you know, talked about some raw stuff, you know, so.
Okay.
But I don't know.
All right, looking on the list, I don't see anything before Raw on this list. And it says that he saw.
See, Herman could be right. I do trivia, Robert.
Yeah, whatever. He he says it 223 times, so yes.
Fuck or just cursing in general?
The fuck. Word fuck.
Okay.
The fuck counts. The number of minutes, uses per minute, I can go through that list. The uses per, it's 90 and 2.47 uses per minute, so it's 90 minutes long, so that's where they get the count. I was looking at other movies to see if there was, well, 1983, Scarface, they say 207 times. So that's not bad.
Gotcha.
There's also, but as a count at the time, he would have said it more than that. So, but it wouldn't have been, it's at least on this list. There's a film called Blue Collar from 78 that uses a lot.
Larry the fucking Cable Guy.
Oh, that's Richard Pryor.
There's Platoon.
Blue Collar is Richard Pryor.
Those are the only ones that come up in there in the 80s.
Isn't that funny, huh?
Anyway, all right, so I don't think it's going to be tough sledding to at least pick this other movie, to make this film change its title as opposed to the other movie, but does anybody have any suggestions?
Eddie Murphy presents Fuck.
Okay, exactly, perfect.
Eddie Murphy in his specially purple suit.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because it's a comedy.
Eddie Murphy's purple suit? End question mark.
Come for the suit, stay for the laughs. That's just the thing. When it comes to a comedy special movie, it's hard to do a title because I guess there's a theme, but he does kind of jump around from story to story. There isn't like an overarching theme, I guess, if you would say about this, other than I'm going to be real with you.
Story time with Eddie Murphy?
Should have been called Less Than 48 Hours? Like as a way to like distinguish length and to reference a movie that he had done before? Huh?
Was it Nick Nolte or is it?
He's in it too. Yeah, with Nick Nolte.
Yeah. So Nick Nolte just comes out and goes, "Fuck!
Here's Eddie Murphy. I'm doing 5 minutes though. I'm gonna talk about all the sweet, sweet puss you can get."
Why does Nick Nolte sound
like Rick? Cat.
Why do they sound like Rick now?
That sounds like Rick.
Yeah.
Like my good friend Rick, or are you talking about like somebody else?
It's from Rick and Morty.
Okay, this is what Rick sounds like.
Yeah.
To you?
Well,
am I doing Rick?
Well, you say sweet, sweet pussy.
Oh, because that is his catchphrase. Hey, Morty, you want sweet, sweet pussy?
To mermaid puss.
All right, I give up. Both of us should never say that again. All right, fine. All right, we're going to go watch the other movie and then talk about it afterwards. Here's if I can find a preview that's in English, I'll throw it in here, but maybe not.
You can see his little pecker.
Right now.
Is that what it's like? Is that what I sound like? Is that what I've been? Oh my gosh! Oh god! All these.
Whenever you take the schooling of Herman to get as loud as that, then yes, that is as loud as you're going to be right there. We just finished watching the second Raw from 2016, starring French people doing French language stuff.
It was nothing but baguettes and mimes.
Ooh, and Jerry Lewis fans, actually...
Man, if I had a count for every time I heard, "Lady!" Lady in Red.
Oh, man, another title for this. Lady in Red,
ooh,
I like
that's
that.
A good title, yeah.
I think that's also a Japanese translation of the movie Carrie.
But as that line, cheek to cheek, I think it also applies to this thing. So,
cheek to cheek.
Cheek to cheek.
So So this movie's from 2016. As I alluded to earlier, this was a film from Fantastic Fest that had a lot of buzz going in because it had already played at the Toronto International Film Festival with two people passing out while watching this movie.
Damn right.
So people were very interested in how this would play. And it certainly got the most buzz over any other movie that happened at that festival. I wouldn't call it my favorite. I don't think I'd even put it in my top five. But it was still one of those movies that'll stay with you because it does things that you don't see many conventional films do these days. The plot is very simple. It is a girl living the dream. She's got doting parents and like a legacy to live on. She's like, I'm a total study buddy.
Going to a very prestigious vet school.
Right. My burp made him yawn. My bad.
Oh, I just get so sleepy and burps. I don't know what it is. I can't watch Rick and Morty without passing out. But she's going to a prestigious... It's one of these schools that's like a hyperbole kind of the college situation where it's like they have crazy parties and everybody's in this Rush fraternity. It seemed like her whole class was running for Rush Week.
That is correct.
It was like, hey, you're a freshman, you're in this fraternity family. But it's like a huge university. It was kind of weird. But all parties all the time because we're so elite, we can do all this intense stuff.
Right, so I wouldn't call her like she can't be like 18. Holy shit! All right, for those that definitely didn't see this on the way up here, David found a bug and was trying to tackle it with a chair that he had just picked up, and he
fucking got it.
It's gonna come back at you.
I have my back turned to the fly, so guys, if y'all see it sneaking up on me with a folding chair, let me know.
This was clearly like a graduate school situation, but in France, they may do it at a younger age, so she might not have been like 22 when this was when she was introduced into the system. She might have been like 18, but it's tough to tell, mainly because they were all like drinking and smoking, but you know, like, hey, it's France. That's what they do. You know, you don't know if that's unusual or not.
I also think that she was the prodigy. They kept saying prodigy, so she could have been like a little bit younger than the rest of her school age people. But she has gotten into this prestigious vet school, and it is all parties all the time. It's all the rushing freshmen have to undergo all these initiation rites and whatnot. And one of the very first one that they do, aside from the techno party initiation, after they throw your beds out and ransack your room, is that you
where are your beds? We hate beds here.
Is that you stand in line and you have to eat something raw, like rabbit.
It was a rabbit kidney.
Yeah, now I don't think it was that every year, because remember they asked what you have to eat. So I think it's something along those lines, but they had to eat it as part of their initiation, like, ha-ha, freshman, rookie thing. Now, up until this point, she's been raised in a very, she kind of got, that homeschool vibe.
Yes. You know,
very, very, parents are very, looking after her kind of thing, and so they are all vegan, so she was always raised vegan.
We being in the States, we don't get that kind of concentrated education for a particular parochial school at that young age. Considering her parents were vets, they probably just raised her to be a better vet. They tried it on the first one. You get those situations where you try it on the first one, you're like, let's have another kid.
All right, version 2.0. We'll knock out all the bugs.
Yeah.
But with that in mind, she meets her sister there, who is, I'm assuming, a senior.
No, just a year older.
Oh, just a year older.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
she said she was going for a year, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever system that they have in there.
Upperclassman.
Yes.
Kind of thing. And she's like, look, I had to do it too. Just eat the rabbit kidney, move on. There's other initiation rites. You don't want to fail in front of them, you know.
Right.
Just take the haze and keep going.
It's not like you see all the dead bunnies aside going, why? Why just the kidneys? We're slowly dying here. This is stupid.
You also find out that both her parents met each other and went to the school as well. So, you know, they were prodigies, I guess, in that sense. Mom and dad met here.
Yeah.
So we came here too. So she gets a taste of the rabbit kidney, and then things kind of just start getting weird from there.
It does sound like that'd be a British food, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you get your rabbit kidneys, it boy!
Yeah. We'll have that, and then you're going to go out and play some Quidditch. So Quidditch.
I want to hear this character talk for another hour.
It sounds like about the fat bastard.
I was trying to make it a little sounding better than I normally do when it comes to English sounding sounds. This is almost like a Dick Van Dyke version.
Don't forget to breathe.
It's basically me doing a baby voice.
No, it's Howard Cosell meets a British urchin with a hint of Jamaican, like, how are you doing today? Like, you have that long thing, and you didn't breathe. That was worried about you for a second. I could listen to that guy talk.
Now, they don't mention this in the movie, but clearly she develops a condition that they're trying to correlate directly to her eating the kidney. Since she's never had meat before, her body does crazy shit.
She has a rash. The high heaven is itching.
Yes.
Like, just all, like, all sorts of illnesses start popping. You're like, oh, maybe
David is diagnosing on the spot. And
I do find I'm yelling Benadryl at the TV screen. Yeah. I'm just like, it's not that hard.
And I was like, no, she's doing the right thing. She's going to keep scratching, and that's going to work.
You ever hear scratch a flu away?
Yeah. Just,
no, that abstinence for flu.
What was that?
Abstinence.
Because you fuck on flu.
Yes.
You're through and through.
That's how you get it.
But it turns out, like, after taking whatever medication that she has, she starts getting a thirst for meat. Like, they go out and get some falafel. No, it wasn't falafel. It was just shawarma. And she's just going to town on the meat. But that's not enough. She goes after some raw meat in the fridge. Still not enough. She's got to figure out another way to satiate this appetite. And there's only one person to do it. And that is the most dangerous person of them all. Man.
Well, I think it happens because after sister bonding time.
Yes.
She's helping her sister, or the younger sister, the protagonist.
Okay, call the older sister Tiger Girl.
Tiger Girl, older sister, younger girl, cannibal, canna-gal.
Canna-gal.
canna-gal finish. Canna-gal is getting a Brazilian wax from her sister, and so she's doing it, and then all of a sudden the wax gets stuck, so her sister takes out a pair of scissors to go ahead and cut it, remove the hair, and get the wax out. And her sister kicks her because she says, no, don't do that. And the scissors chop off her sister's finger, Tiger Girl's finger.
The sharpest scissors that known to man, especially just look like just regular scissors.
Like the size of Merrick ribbon cutting scissors, but as sharp as, like, I'm cutting a limb off kind of thing.
Like, right, right.
Put Zissou blades on it or something. Like Amulet.
So her middle finger gets cut off. Her sister passed out. And there's a pool of blood. So what does she do? She calls the ambulance. They said they're going to be 15 minutes and to put the finger on ice. Well, she can't find ice. And while she's marveling at the finger, she starts tasting
blood. She
finds
some buffalo sauce, though. Yeah. Why is there all these ranch dipping sauces everywhere? I don't understand.
They're good for finger food.
Nom, nom, nom.
Now, I think Robert said the best way to describe it was she was eating her sister's finger like Tom Hanks is eating baby corn in Big.
Yes.
Like, just
savoring every little moment of it. She's
a different name for the movie when we seen that scene, too.
Yes, I did, but that is not what I'm going to go with.
Oh, okay, then.
Yeah.
I'm going to shut up, then.
So, her sister gets out the hospital, but she doesn't seem too fazed about her sister eating her finger in front of her. Because she does wake up, and she looks over, and she sees her sister eating her finger.
Yeah, one tear coming down the eye.
Well, I mean, she's like, oh, no, you have it, too. So then she takes her out to this long stretch, and she jumps out in front of a car, makes the car run into a tree, and she starts feasting on the bodies in the car.
As one would do, because that's CPR, as everybody knows.
Yeah, you can't waste good food.
And then it becomes a conflict over a boy, which is weird, kind of Frenchy thing going on.
It's meant to go into a world of madness that at least our protagonist is going through, not knowing exactly what to do with the situation. And now there's not just one, but two in dealing with this. We are building toward an end, but I don't want to say what the ending is because this movie's still relatively new to Netflix. It's one of these things that once you get to the end, I don't know if it's good or bad. I mean, you can base it off the decisions of what Herman and David have to say about this movie. I will say it's not great. I think it's very interesting. It's not really a horror movie. It's just a weird psychological drama. It's definitely one of those weird coming-of-age films that takes it into a different direction than what you'd expect. I think it has a lot of I think it has a lot of promise for a movie, and as I it definitely caught the eye of a lot of people that watched it at the festival. Like I said, when I watched it, even though it's over like watching like 30 movies, I just didn't put it in my top five. I still thought it was an okay film. So what did you think about this, David?
I mean, certainly not what you've seen before, and it handled it in an interesting way. You know, it basically, you know, and I think you described it before we went in pretty interesting. It's one of those movies where it sets you into a naive situation. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, basically things are occurring, and you're just like, well, what's the bad? And rather than just feeding it to you from the get-go, just like really hamming it in your face, it basically, you get your questions answered.
Yes.
Like, whenever you go into this, just know that questions are answered. But it makes you, you know, have your own theories along the way, speculate and stuff like that, which is always, I think, one of the better ways to do these kind of films.
Right.
Because there's one, like, you know, there's a reveal or there's an explanation, but it's kind of like a signs. When you see the aliens too early, you're like, oh, well, that's all I really wanted to see. I just wanted to see the aliens that's been running around Mel Gibson.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so, like,
right,
the last,
right.
like, what, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes of the movie, you're just like... All right, well, fine. Just, yeah, you know, fuck it. I saw what I wanted to see, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
So this one does a good job of, like, you know, playing around with it. This is the universe. These are the situations going on. We're not going to outline it until, you know, we're ready to.
Herman, what do you think?
I think it was, to bounce off of David saying, it didn't leave nothing unanswered. I mean, when the movie first started off, You starts off with, like, what the fuck is going on? And you find out your answer 40 minutes into the film, which is was tied it up pretty nicely, which is, like, it. Even though this movie is kind of out there, you guys can see this shit happen in real life for some reason. I don't know. I don't know about y'all, but...
Well, no, there's definitely a sci-fi realm to it, because that much raw meat would just... Yeah.
Plus, I also looked up... The legal drinking age in France is 16 years for wine and beer, 18 years for spirits and liquor. And earlier, Robert mentioned something about Trainspotting in this movie. There's a scene that reminded Robert of Trainspotting. And no, it didn't.
It was David.
It was me.
My bad. But the reason why it reminded him, I'm looking at Robert then. The reason why it reminded you of Trainspotting because the director told her to watch Trainspotting for inspiration for that scene.
Oh.
So there you go.
There we go.
Tied in. See?
Yeah, where she's jonesing for something, but she's trying to come down, and it's not quite coming down as quickly as she would hope. So she's like, come on, come on, come on, come on. I've got a party to go to where someone's going to throw blue paint on me. As we all do, we go to these parties, and we're like, what paint's going to be thrown on me today? You know, when you go to these things, you're like, purple. I thought it was blue when I looked at it, but no.
Shut up, let me.
But okay. I've been reading these reviews and saying that people had to vomit, people faint, and you know, some people had to walk out and had to take a break. Did you get that feeling, right, Dave?
I could see some of the more visceral scenes, and maybe if it was like in a movie environment, somebody might get like so absorbed in it that like you know, sometimes when you get sucked in a movie, it feels more real. It doesn't necessarily. I was a little uncomfortable for her. Like
maybe,
at times,
maybe it's
but
Renee
I
asked you since you always see blood and bones all the time and people sticking stuff up their pee hole. So, you know. I'm going to ask Robert, when you first
I've never seen somebody actively stick something up their pee hole.
You just
I've
take
seen,
it out?
No, I don't take it out either. I have just encountered them while stuff has been up their pee
you
hole.
You wait for them to sneeze.
I haven't been like, go on, a little further. You can do it. That is how I am. I'm not acting like that.
I don't know if you remember the Bill Hader character where he's I forgot the guy from NBC that goes over the real life murder mysteries, but he talks about like he talks to the murderer and he's like, and you found the hand. Go on. He was like, oh yes, daddy like yes, yeah. No, I turned away. I don't like that stuff. I don't like looking at crap like that. That's like anything that's medical based. All that's
It's kind of fun. The only thing I turned away on was with the Brazilian wax scene. I just can't stand that. I guess because I'm hairy, I'm like I would never ever do that. So that just hurts.
Okay,
I was just worried she was gonna like flay her.
Yeah,
like, So I was just like, I don't feel like seeing that next to the coochie. But I will say, as far as it comes with names,
Oh, yes, we have to get I think this is definitely the one that needs to be renamed because Eddie Murphy Raw is too synonymous with that title. It's one of those things that
you say... I interrupted.
Go ahead.
But please interrupt.
I was just saying, though, like, you know, it's just so hard because, you know, it's a stand-up special.
Right.
You know, I think if it was something else, you could have more fun with it, like the names I'm assuming we're going to bring to the table for this one. But I think by default, that one becomes Raw, even though I feel like this one, Raw, plays to it a little bit better. But he does, like I say, explain how Richard Pryor's Raw and how when he comes to the microphone, you know, he's just kind of telling it to us raw and uncensored. So
yeah.
In that sense, I'm going to lean towards Eddie Murphy. But for this movie, I feel like a fun title could have been Freshman 15.
Yes. Oh, that is a fun title.
Herman, anything?
Well, I was looking at, like, the French translation for Raw is Brute, believe it or not. Or
B-R-U-T?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, Tartar, you know. But it also, over there, it was called Grave over there, so I don't know why it was called Grave over there. But all right. But no, I can't think of nothing.
All right, Tartardy.
I like Canna Girl. That's the one that you came up with. The ones that I came up with while we were watching was Finger Looking Good. But it was mainly for one scene, so it doesn't seem like that would really play for the entire movie. But Fresh Meat, I think, is probably the best title for it because of the double meaning.
Coming in as freshmen.
Yes.
Rookies.
Yeah, that's when you've got a girl coming in, whatever, into the bed school, as well as other freshmen, and that is a term used on freshmen all the time.
I gotta say, fresh meat.
Yeah.
I think it's the winner.
Yeah. Oh, cool. All right. I'll take it. Anything else you want to bring up before we bring this podcast to a screeching halt?
No. This is fun.
I'm stopping now then.
No. Baba Booey. Sorry. I panicked.
Fair enough. Herman, anything to add to this?
No.
Okay. So the newest Raw, the one from France, the cannibalistic one, your new name is Fresh Meat. Eddie Murphy's Raw? Stays the same.
Watch yourself. Watch, you're on thin ice, mister.
Yes. Wait until another Raw comes up.
Can you do that? What?
I mean, it's almost Revenge of the Nerdy. That's what we're talking about. If you do happen to watch Raw in the near future with Eddie Murphy, you'll notice that he refrains from the classic Eddie Murphy laugh because I think from his recent movies during that time and stuff like that, he might have gotten criticized. Like, you'll notice that he'll almost go into it, but he catches himself.
That's true. He keeps it. He keeps it on the down low. He's just like, yeah. That's about how he does it. Like a little fart. not the glorious part that we've known Eddie Murphy for this entire time. But for another There Can Be Only One podcast, my name is Robert Rao.
Herman Omega Prime Davis.
And I'm David Vetrano.
Good night.
Good night. Or good morning, depending on when you're listening to this.
Mindfuck.
No, nobody listens to this in the morning. Never.
No, or wake up and listen.
Yes.
It's one claw at a time.
Ooh, boy. That was a dumb move. Your volume was way up for some reason. Yeah, you. I don't know
why you got two mics out by
fire. Here. Well, the other one isn't on. That's just a prop. He can play with it all he wants.
You should have put that in front of him and act like, you know, that was Michael's own.
Baby's first steering wheel. Driving the car.
All right, see if I adjust it a little bit more.
Adjust.
No, ever since I went to the vets with her the one time, there's a, like a, yes, sure, why not? You have to shop around with vets. It's like, you go to the first vet and they're like, it's going to cost some money. I'm like, oh, really? All right, fine. Never mind.
Don't go to the first vet and he told me $350. All right, what is the second vet?
Oh man!
But they had they didn't declaw her. They just took they cut some of it off, and I was like, "Ooh, you can do that!" I did not realize that's something that you can do to cats. And so after that, I'll just sit with her, and it's not a great experience. She hates it. Like, it's one of the worst things to do, especially if you're messing with her paw. She's like, "Man, what's this? You've never done this before. Stop that!" And then I'll just cut it, and then I'm like, "Man."
one catch chill for flippings.
Oh, so you do? You do that with your cats?
Yeah, the one Lisa's had for a while. She can just like grab me, just kind of sit him up like this, and he just goes, "Whoa, what's going on?" But he's chill. Andrew's still like, we'll try to bite at us, so we're trying to distract him and find what his safe place is, kind of thing.
Amsterdam.
Yeah, just get the cat really high.
Yeah, the cat have some brownies.
Yeah,
got that won't kill you. Yeah, catnip's perfect. I am ready to get clipped.
Yeah. The fly still is around here, dude. Is in your hair.
Plus, there's like 20 cameras, so it doesn't matter which way you're facing, David. The camera's always going to be on you.
How'd you get that GoPro on that fly? It's great footage.
I got Tricky going around with a camera on a fly going into the president's office.
I would love for somebody to have a GoPro on one of those drones.
Yes.
Like a competitive drone racing and just chasing a fly.
Like, yeah, that'd be awesome.
You'd have to have a Jedi manning it.
That's basically like that would be like another the Ocho game that could exist. Like they do have drone races now, but you have to follow an existing object out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, isn't that essentially what Quidditch is? That's the golden snitch. Like if you were to catch a fly with a drone, that's essentially I think the same.
While Quidditch is a game that is played now, there is no entity that plays the Quidditch. They just have they have someone dressed up as a golden ball chasing him around. Like
why don't they use a drone?
They could use a squirrel. I think the squirrel would probably work best. Like you just find a squirrel and then you just
man, never won that game.
Well, that's why you get up 150 points otherwise. Like that, yeah.
It's supposed to be hard. Harry Potter just makes it look easy, but like getting the snitch I thought was supposed to be it's the game ender. I mean that's
yeah, he
it.
Totally was the Odell Beckham of Quidditch. Like he would get it and then he'd like pee on the other team and they're like, "Boo!
Yeah.
You suck."
Yeah, he totally Beckhamed it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He bent it. He bent the rules. Like Beckham.
He bent his ankle.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, the ankle injury. Yeah, trust me, I got that on my Twitter feed.
I heard it on the radio and I was like, I do not want to look at this video. I just hearing the guys explain on the radio, I was like, nope, I'm not gonna back and watch.
I hate watching bones break. On sports stuff. No, honestly,
I hate doing that to patients. Yeah. When they annoy me.
No, like seriously, sometimes we'll set bones back and you can hear the crunches. Like, that's not great, whatever. But actually seeing like somebody's like lay like wrap around something or like the moment it snaps like that will always give me the heebie-jeebies.
Oh, yeah.
They can come in and the bone will be sticking out. I'm just like, all right, well, let's start fixing shit.
You might not want to go see Brawl and Cell Block 99 then.
Yeah, I mean, that like anytime that happens in a movie where somebody like breaks an arm and you just see the arm twitch the other way. It always gets an out of me. It'll always make me like this.
Right. You ready? Let's do this.